This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with the seminar 2010 London Symposium. Proposition: I am the greatest philosopher in the world. I am the greatest philosopher in the world. Sounds a little bit, kind of better than you. But I am the greatest philosopher in the world for me. I am the greatest philosopher in the world for me. That's all I can ever be. I'm only for myself. Now, I create a perfect atmosphere. Others enjoy it, but it's for me. I create a perfect environment of all activity. Everybody can enjoy it, but it's for me. I create a perfect relationship with myself and my friends, and it's a blessing to my friends, but it's for me, because I am the greatest philosopher in the world. Now, what is a philosopher? A philosopher is one who thinks about what he thinks about. He has his own thoughts. And he lives in his own thoughts. I don't live in Sybil's thoughts or Christie's thoughts or anybody else's thoughts. I'm aware of your thoughts, but I live in my thoughts. Now, Christie might come out with a statement and say, "Oh, life is so wonderful." And so I will come out with a statement and say, "Oh, life is so wonderful." Christie says, "Well, I just said that." "No, I just said that." "And no, I just said that." "And no, I just said that." Well, you see, there's no discussion, really. Chrissy has no hold on all wisdom, nor do I. But I use what I use, and Chrissy uses what she uses. And if she doesn't use what I use, then that's her choice. But she doesn't have to use what I use. She is a great philosopher, the greatest philosopher in the world, for Chrissy. And as she's the greatest philosopher in the world, she says, "To be or not to be, I just created that, you know." And, "Man, know thyself. I just created that," she says. "That's mine. That's me. That's Chrissy. I say, man, know thyself. And it's done unto you according to your belief." Boy, I certainly come up with some good ones, don't I? Some really terrific ideas, you know. I'm the greatest philosopher in the world. And you say, I've heard that before. You know, I've heard other philosophers have said that or are saying that, or I say that. I said that. Now, you can't say you say it because I say it. Well, we teach ourselves our philosophy is our philosophy. It's not the philosophy of somebody else. It's not the philosophy of another person. It's the philosophy of me. I am the one that created that philosophy. I am the one that has that philosophy. I am the one that lives that philosophy. And it's mine. It's mine totally. Now, that takes us to this point. Whether you like it or not, I am the only person on the universe, on the world. I'm the only person alive. I am the only person that exists. And because of my magnanimous, whatever, attitude of mine, I am going to bless you and give you life, and bless you and give you life. I'm going to create you in my world. And I create you as a perfect reflection of all of my best qualities, you know. I create you as a perfect reflection of all of my genius and all of my magic and all of my wonder. You know, isn't that nice? Aren't I great? And so around me, I create people who are supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. They're just wonderful beyond means. They're just wonderful beyond any imagination. Because I am the greatest philosopher on earth. And I create every experience around me by my choice. I create every person around me by my choice. I create every experience around me. I create the weather by my choice. I walk outside. I walk outside. The sun shines on me. Rain all around. The sun is shining on me. I'm walking through Nigeria, you know, and it's a rainy season, and the rain is just coming down cats and dogs. It's just coming down in buckets and barrels and so forth. And right around me, I'm walking along in the sunlight. The sun is coming right down through those clouds, right down through that rain, right on me. And around me, is no rain. And I walk into a house, and naturally, then the sun is shining at me there too. Right through the walls, right through the ceiling. And I say, well, I think I'll take a nap. Shut the sun off for a minute. You know? So I create peacefulness and quietness. I'm sitting under a tree, you know, and I'm shaded from the sun by my choice. And I'm enjoying myself, and I'm having a meditation. And now, what am I meditating upon?
My thoughts.
My thoughts. Stuck in my thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. Oh my, how good that is, how wonderful I am. I'm thinking these thoughts. Now, what kind of thoughts am I thinking? I'm thinking thoughts of fulfillment. I'm thinking thoughts of wonder. I'm thinking thoughts of peace. I'm thinking, Chrissy is a beautiful woman. Chrissy is a gorgeous woman. Chrissy is a delightful woman. Chrissy is a brilliant woman, a thoughtful, fantastic woman. I'm saying this about Chrissy. And what happens? That's what Chrissy is. And every good thought I ever entertained in my mind and my heart, Chrissy entertains. Every. Without regard. And Chrissy, she doesn't complain. She doesn't complain one little bit of being my creation. She doesn't complain one little bit about being my being, my expression of happiness and joy. You know? Then I create Sybil. And Sybil's a little firecracker. And I create her as being a brilliant, magical person. And Sybil says, I am not. I am not a brilliant, magical person. She cannot say that. She is my creation. She cannot say anything contrary. Sybil cannot be a mean and a hateful person. Sybil cannot be a poor person. Sybil cannot be a sick person. Sybil cannot be anything other than what I create her. How do I create her? Perfect. Sybil is the richest lady in the world.
Yes.
Yes. Sybil is the healthiest lady in the world.
Yes.
Sybil is surrounded by beautiful friends at all times who just absolutely worship and delight in her presence.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And Sybil is the happiest lady on earth because she's always coming up with new ideas about being happy.
Yes.
Now, and on and on. Now, how can I create her when Sybil creates herself? How can I create Sybil to be anything when Sybil creates herself? Maybe Sybil wants to create herself as an unhappy person. Does she have a right to do that?
No.
Yes, for her. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. I created you as a happy person and a harmonious, and when you're in my world with me, you're happy and harmonious. You hide that unhappiness that you think you are. You cannot be unhappy in my world. You just cannot. But in your world, in your expression, you can be anything you want. Now, you see, that's the freedom of choice that we have, to be either positive or a negative. Because all exists in the universal, positive and negative. And neither one is said to be right or wrong. But it just is whatever we choose to have it be. So Sybil says, I kind of think it's more fun being happy, like Herb says, than to be unhappy. I have these people who are giving me a hard time, and I don't know what to do about it. They're just giving me a hard time. And then Sybil says, I know what to do. Now, these people are giving me a hard time because one thing only, because I am such a... But these people give me a hard time because I created them. I created them doing that. Why am I so stupid? Why do I create something I really don't want? Why do I create something I really don't want? Why do I create a world filled with anger and unhappiness or war? You know, why? There now is peace on earth.
And it
began with me. It began with my thought. Now, why is Mary unhappy in my world? Because it began with me. So in my world, Mary is happy. She doesn't have the right to be unhappy in my world, because in my world, everybody is what I create them. And so this is why it's so important for us to be aware of that and say to ourselves, okay, now what do I want in my world? What do I want in my life? What do I want in my experience? What do I want? What do I want? Do I want happy people? If I want happy people, I must definitely, categorically create them happy. Now, how do I create happy people in a world where there appears to be unhappiness? Well, in the first place, I immediately do my job and create the world right. Now, here's an unhappy world. I say, all is in divine order. 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 I'm getting blue in the face, you know. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. All and I say it, 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 and I say it. I may not believe it. I may not. I may recognize there are appearances out there that are not so divine order. I may still be in that limited attitude, but I say, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. I repeat that and repeat that until that's the only thing I know and believe. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind. And see, I keep saying it, I keep saying it, I keep saying it, I keep saying it, I keep saying it. I mantra it. I say it as a beautiful affirmation that is real for me. And then it's done. Then it comes. But I can live in my thought in any direction I want. I can live in my thought in being unhappy, and then I have the unhappiness. And is that what I want? Then that's what I got. Now, do you want to live in a world that gives you unhappiness and makes you feel that life is not pleasing and happy? Well, if that's what you want, then go for it. You have a right to do that. You can have anything you want. But you see, as we talked before, 100% of the people on Earth, 7 billion people more or less, 1%, and how do we know it's 1%, even that much? 1% of the people are living lives of unhappiness, with whatever reason. Okay, now, why should those 1% be living an unhappy life, even? They're living an unhappy life because of one thing. That's the cause they put in motion. That's the cause they put in motion. Now, why are the 99% not living in unhappy lives? Because the cause they put in motion is, if the world were all disharmonious, it would not be a harmonious world like we're living in. We're living in a harmonious world. Oh, there's a few little hurricanes now and then, but we're living in a harmonious world. And the harmonious world is a beautiful, wonderful world. It's a world where it's dependable. It's a world where people are consistently saying, I love you. It's a world where things are consistently being good. Now, you, Miss Sybil, you go to the market, not Chrissy. You go to the market, and you have to pinch the fruit to see if it's fresh, or to see if it's ripe, or to see if it's perfect. And the marketeer says, well, we expect that. And so you pinch it. You have broad shoulders, that's why I'm using you as an example there. And so sometimes you get a piece of fruit that's not so perfect. The outside of the banana looks good, but the inside of the banana was pretty well done, you know. And you were not too happy with that. And you said, my God, I got another bad banana. Why did I do that? Why did I do it? Well, excuse me. Now we go over to Chrissy here. Chrissy goes into the market, and Chrissy says, let's go shopping. And Chrissy is Miss Whirlwind, you know? Miss Whirlwind. And so she reaches here and reaches there and grabs this and grabs it. She doesn't even look at what she grabs. She says, I want pears, I want apples, I want oranges, I want this, I want that. And she grabs the bags and tosses them in her shopping cart without a second thought about them. She doesn't look at those and say, that's a bad bag. This is a good bag over here. No, this is better. You know, she doesn't do that. She just goes, buck, 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 buck. Why? Because she knows that she could not pick up a bad pear. She could not pick up a bad banana. You could not, because that's not your nature. You expect to get the best banana, right?
Yes.
You expect to get the best pear, the best oranges, everything's best that you expect to get.
Yes.
And every time you go, oh, there are times when you're in a little different spooky mood, and you don't work so perfectly. But the thing is, most of the time you do. Now, what does Sybil do most of the time? Come tell me what Sybil does most of the time.
She sees it done.
Yeah, okay, she sees it done. Most of the time when Sybil goes shopping, she doesn't have to pinch a thing. She just picks it up and knows it's perfect. Right?
Yes.
Whew. Finally, we got that across. Now, why doesn't Sybil do it all the time? Because she's got her mind on something else sometimes. Because she looked at the newspapers on the counter as she came through into the store, and the newspapers are telling about some catastrophe or things that are going on there, and you carry that into the market with you, and you buy things that are catastrophic, that are not perfect. Really, that's what you do. You have upset your mind some way and made yourself feel a little less than perfect, and so then that carries through on the market. Who buys the bad fruits in the market? People have got their minds all filled with garbage. You know, who buys the things that have bad stuff in them in the market? It's the people who are unhappy with themselves. The people who are happy with themselves always buy the good stuff. Do you know that when little babies and little children are sitting in the shopping cart, you know, with the mama, and they're going by, and they reach in the shelves and they take things off, everything they take off those shelves are perfect. Everything they choose is the bestest, you know, the most fun. Even things that they don't have any need for. They pick up something that means nothing to them, but that's fun. But it's the best. It's always the best. Now, we want to have that abandon that these children have. And that abandon that these children have is going to create for us something very precious, very perfect. Now, how's it going to do that? How is it going to create these things precious and beautiful for us? Our minds are going to be in A1 condition. We're going to be thinking top grade stuff. We're going to be thinking the best. You go in the market and you want the best fruit for your family. You want the best of everything. So you pick it up. You do not search for it. If you search for it, you're going to overlook the good stuff and reach in for something you don't want. It may be on top, it may be on the bottom, it may be anywhere, but you just reach over there and take it. Because the perfect stuff gravitates to the surface for you when you're walking by. Someone else walks by with a negative mental attitude and they get the pinched stuff that's already starting to get squishy and wooshy. Now, this is the way the principle works. We say, well, that's so simple. That's right. And that's just the way it works. That's just, you see, there you can readily see it happening. You can readily see how the principle is working there, and you don't fight it. But if I say to you, levitate for me, blah, 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 yeah, you haven't tried it yet, that's all. If you would just stop thinking about it and do it, you would do it. Now, you do it. You do levitate. You do teleport. You do all of these things that you like to do. You do firewalk. You do all these things. But you do it when you're not thinking about it. And now you want to think about it. You want to consciously travel here or there or what have you and consciously do it. You want to consciously go into the store and put right thoughts in your mind about the groceries you're going to pick up so they'll all be perfect. And Chrissy, there's another area you want to work on. Chrissy wants to go in the store and not ask the clerk where things are. She knows where they are. She knows. She walks right to them. When she wants to have a battery, she walks right to the battery counter. When she wants to have anything at all, she walks right there because she knows that she knows that she knows, and she goes where she knows she should go and picks up what she wants to pick up. It is all up to you. Now, you're going to continue asking the merchants where things are because that's just part of your game. You like to talk to the merchants and you think that's very charming to talk to these young men and you think that they're so delightful to share with you because they like to be in your presence because your presence is so delightful and charming. Yes. Now, but that's not what you go to the grocery store. You go to the grocery store to get your produce and you want to get out of there. You want to get in your own environment as quick as possible, out of the environment of all of these other people who are you've created as non-existent in your world. When you walk through that grocery store, you just take your cart and you just shove it along and everything clears before you. I surround myself with the pure white light of love, and all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness, and the way is open and clear before me. The way is open and clear before me. That's a very important part of that treatment. The way is open and clear before me. In the grocery store, too. In the shopping centers, too. Wherever you go, the way is open before me. It doesn't have to be on the highway or on the streets, you know, but the way is open before me. You place this into your mental attitude, into your mental thoughts, into your thinking, and you experience it. Now, where's the parking place? Chrissy goes tootling around the barn out there looking for parking places all over the place, and she wants to get this, or but she doesn't really know what she wants. Oh, I'll take that. That's good enough. That's okay. That's not good enough. When Chrissy comes to her house here in Leicester, what does she do? She drives up here and she gets a block or two away and she says, I have the perfect parking place. Right in front of my door. The perfect parking place. Well, she gets there and it's not there. Because the man is just driving away. He was holding it for her.
Yes.
You know, he was holding it for you.
Yes.
He had to first buckle it up and he had to first light a cigarette and he had to first do this and first do that because he was waiting for you. He was waiting for you. It could have been perfect matching, but you take a long time to go a short distance, you know. And so he was waiting for you. And you pull up, and just as you pull up, he pulls out. He pulls out just instantly. Nobody can get in there except you, because that's your place. And so you pull in there. Does that happen? Can that happen?
Yes.
Certainly. Now, are you mentally knowing that truth all the time? Well, if you do, then you have it. If you don't mentally know that truth all the time, then you don't have it, because that's what you're all about. Now, what are you all about? What are you all about? What is the importance of your life? Is the importance of your life thoughts or things? Is the importance of your life, I think every thought in keeping with the divine within me. I think every thought in keeping with the divine within me. Every thought I think is a divine thought. Every thought I think is my ideal self expressing. I am the ideal role model for thoughts. I am the ideal role model for thoughts. Ibube looks at me and he knows that I am thinking ideal thoughts. And he wants to be near me. He wants to be around me because he knows I'm thinking ideal thoughts. He knows I'm thinking only thoughts of harmony and peace and love and goodness. He knows I always have a lot of good gadgets. And he wants to know all about those gadgets. And he's creative and he's interested and he's dynamic. And sometimes you have to put him aside on the gadgets and say another time, you know. But that's okay. But you see, our thoughts are so beautiful, so wonderful, so powerful, so fantastic, so glorious. But we have to put them in motion. Now, when are you going to put your thoughts in motion?
Right now.
And what is Christy going to say?
Right now.
Christy, what are you going to say?
Right now.
Christy, what are you going to say? Es ist getan. Es ist getan. You know what that means? That's German for it is done. It is done. It is done.
It is done.
It is done. When are you going to put your thoughts in motion about right action and peace and harmony and goodness?
It is done.
Can you see what I mean? Not that you will be doing it, or you're going to, or you have, or you are, but it is done. You have and are is pretty good too, but it is done. It's kind of a clear-cut phrase, isn't it? It is done. Okay, now, when are you going to go to the market?
It is done.
Well, pretty good, huh? And when are you going to come home?
Done.
It is done. Now, now, now. And that's a good point, too. There's only the time now, you know. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, when are you going to be the happiest lady in the world?
I am.
Ich bin, I am. I am. I am. What would be the dialectic phrase for I am from Nigeria in your area? Forgot it, huh?
Ubua.
Ubua?
Abum. Ubua.
Now. Ubua.
Ubua is now. Ubua is now. Abum. It Abum is I am.
Abua?
Abum.
Abum.
Is I am.
I am. Abum.
Abum.
And now?
Now. Ubua.
Abum. Ubua.
Mm-hmm.
I boom a boy.
Uh-huh.
See, I it boom. Is done now. It is done now. Now see, that you could go walking around your meditation garden saying that, you know, and then all the neighbors who are sitting there say, what's wrong with her? She's done now. Huh? She's cooked now. she's ready to be enjoyed now. And that's true. That's true. Now, when is there going to be peace on earth?
Now. Done.
It's done. Now. Now. Now there's peace on earth, and now is all time.
Now
all time
now.
Is now. Whether it's yesterday or tomorrow, it's all now.
All now.
Okay, now. When are you going to be the happiest lady in the world?
I am.
I am now. Right now. I am.
Yeah. I am. It is done. It is done. Now, when are you going to speak only thoughts of harmony and peace and love and joy? Because you are the ideal philosopher, you are the greatest philosopher in the world. Are you?
Yeah, I am.
You're the greatest philosopher in the world? Okay, if you're the greatest philosopher in the world, what sort of thoughts do you think?
Beautiful thoughts.
Yes?
Michael.
You don't have to have her answer your questions. You got to answer them yourself just as much as anybody else. Now, what kind of thoughts do you think?
Good thoughts.
Well, oh, how wonderful. Good thoughts. Ideal thoughts, super thoughts, wonderful thoughts. Right, good. Okay, now, and good thoughts are good too. But I got to pull your leg a little bit here. Think on these things. Every moment of your life, think on how wonderful life is, how wonderful everything is, how wonderful everything is going. And when you think about how wonderful everything is, what happens? That's what you experience. That's all you know. That's all I know. Wherever I go, that's all I know. Wherever I go, that's all that I ever want to experience. What did Lily do yesterday? I was talking and Lily was looking at me and going, fluttering her eyes, you know. Now, why was she doing that? She didn't have to. I guess she had a bug in her eye or something, huh? Why was she doing that? She was doing that because she was happy. She liked herself. She wasn't fluttering at me. I merely was the mirror that she was using, but she was fluttering at herself. She was happy. And she was content. And then, what happened? She went fast asleep. When we got out of the children's talk, off Mr. Candle's talk, then fast asleep. What should happen after Mr. Candle's talk? You go to sleep, right? and that's beautiful, isn't it? It's absolutely beautiful. Now, this is what you want to do. This is what you want to be. This is how you want to live your life. Absolutely happy. You want to live your life in such a way that every moment of your life, every thought that you think, every attitude that you have, everywhere that you go, all the world looks at you and says, wow, what was that?
That's
what I do. It just felt like something beautiful just went by. And they don't know that it's you. They because you're not making some claim on this. You're just being the charisma. Like we were talking about that house that Ellen was looking at. You know? She looked at that house and she always liked it. But the charisma of the people inside the house that made the house so beautiful. It was just an ordinary house. But it was just the house inside. The people inside. Now, it's the people inside you that make your body beautiful. Your body can be the most ordinary human body on the face of the earth. You know, not special, not skinny, not fat, not tall, not short, not thin, whatever. Just ordinary. Ordinary. And people look at you and they say, wow, are you a beautiful woman? Are you a glorious woman? Are you fantastic? Oh my goodness sake. Whew, you know, and you're no different than anybody else. And you're really not their reflection. Because if you were their reflection, they're not always too happy with their own physical body. And you are you. You are who you are. And you are wonderful, and you are cool and easy and thrilled with yourself, and just so smooth in getting along with yourself. That, you see, I'm the greatest philosopher on earth. I'm the greatest philosopher in the world. Now, why am I saying I'm the greatest philosopher on earth? I am saying I'm the greatest philosopher on earth because I have a philosophy that I like. I have a philosophy that makes my world happy. I have a philosophy that, and when I add all things up, it's ideal. When I say, do I love the world? Yes. Does the world love me? Yes. Is everything in divine order? Yes. Is everything in peace? Yes. Do I have a good-looking body? Yes. Am I ideal in every way, in my shape and form in my body? Yes. Is life just utterly fantastic? Yes, 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 yes. See? And say this. Now, you look at someone and you say, why can you say you're so happy? You know, you got problems. You know, you got a death in the family, you have illness, you have lack and limitation, you have that. And the person says, I really hadn't thought about that. I guess I should probably be unhappy because I don't have these things. I guess I should probably think. But no, why waste my time being unhappy with that? I'm so happy for all the things I do have. I have everything that makes me happy. I have everything that fulfills my life. I have everything that is good and beautiful. I have everything. I have everything. I have everything. And then, I thought you said you had nothing. Well, that was yesterday. Today, I have everything. Today, my thoughts are recognizing that I have it. Do you need to have a coat?
No.
Speak your word. You're toasty. You know, you heard the story about the wind and the sun, remember? And they tried to get this guy to take off his coat. And the wind and the sun argued about it. And they said, the wind says, I can get him to take off his coat. The sun says, I can do it better than you. And the wind says, well, let me show you. And so the wind blew and blew and blew and blew and blew. And the guy kept putting the coat tighter and tighter and tighter around him. You remember the story. And so then the sun says, now, I'll do my part. And so lovingly, gently, warmly, the sun shone down on this guy wearing the coat. And first he opened the coat, and then he slipped the coat off and put it over his arm, and then he walked along without his coat. Now, the gentleness, the warmth, the love of the sun caused him to remove it. Not the briskness, not the force, the violence. The violence never accomplished anything. In war, in any area, it's only the gentleness, the love, that makes anything come true. And so we can take that as a truism for all areas of our life, all levels of our consciousness, that when we deal with love and peace and harmony and goodness, all things work out in divine order. Now, do you want things to work out in divine order in your life?
Yes.
Don't say yes. Do you want things to work out for you in divine order?
Done.
It is done. You see, we fall back on the old, do you want, do you want, do you want? Well, you never can have. As long as you're going to go around saying you want something, you wish something, and darn it all, why can't you have it, you know? Because you haven't claimed it. You haven't claimed it. Have you claimed the fact that you are happy?
And <Yeah.
laughs> you remind me of Brother Bear. These two mooses were riding on the back of these ancient oxen, and as these two mooses were riding on the back of these ancient oxen, they were trying to do something to amuse themselves as they were taking this trip. And so one moose says, well, let's play a game. And they said, okay, let's play a game. And so they played a game. And then the moose says, I see something that is tall and has green all around it. And the other moose says, it's a tree. And then the other one says, okay, now my turn. I see something that is tall and that has just a straight up in the air. And the other one says, a tree. And the guy says, okay. And then the other one says, well, I see something, and he named something that's like a tree. And the guy says, that's a tree. And then the other moose says, okay, now it's my turn. And so she says, I see. And the other guy says, a tree. And, you know, whatever he wanted, to create, he created. But he created it so simply, so beautifully. You know, that's the run of the mill. You're so used to saying, I will, and I can, or someday, maybe, you know, whereas you do it now. And you just don't call everything a tree just because it's part of the game, you know. If you're going to play the game, you got to play it all the way from the beginning to the end, if you're going to play that way. But this is what we do. This is what we do. Now, what do you want to do? What do you want for your life? Are you, will be, would like to be and miss it? Or are you the person who has, it is done? It is mine.
It is done.
It is done.
It is done.
It is done. Okay. Thank you, Miss Christie. It is done. Now, what happens when it is done? What happens to us when it is done?
We express it.
Yeah, we express it and we do what?
We live it.
Would you say that when you do that, you're the greatest philosopher in the world?
I am.
I am. Mm-hmm. See, she's not going to get caught in that bailiwick at all. And it's true, isn't it? You am the greatest philosopher in the world. And it's a beautiful thing. So, think about that. You are the greatest philosopher in the world. And we really ought to take that a little further. So, let's take a pause, and then we'll take that a little further. I love you.
I love you.